This is the Afternoon Drive Show.
And this continued journey talking about the women in the Bible. Yesterday we spoke about Mary. So it's only Mary of Bethany, that is. So it's only fitting that today we speak about her sister Martha. In Luke 10, we see Jesus and his disciples, they were on their way and they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, it reads in Luke 10, 38 to 42. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what the Lord had to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to me and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." I'm just like, this is a whole sibling rivalry that Jesus has just been called into. And if I was Mary, I'd also be panicking because I'm just like, oh goodness, you're calling Jesus into this? Ooh. But I can imagine the frustration. Can you imagine the moment where your significant other walks into the house and they didn't tell you that they're coming with friends and they need to be fed, let alone it being Jesus? My goodness, that's like your in-laws just arriving with your partner and they've got the rest of the family and they all need to eat and you're just like, oh my goodness, I wasn't ready for guests. The house is not clean enough. Also, I haven't figured out what to eat and I need to quickly put this in the oven and now I'm doing all of this alone while my partner or my sibling is just sitting and not helping with anything. I can almost imagine the frustration that Martha was finding herself going through, which is where we find ourselves this afternoon. We find ourselves at this moment where Martha is just absolutely frustrated. And she goes on to say, tell her to help me. But we see this response from Jesus that completely changes the script in what he says in reply. He says, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her." I think yesterday it was easy for us to be able to draw and learn from the life of Mary. But I think there's so much that we can be able to learn and note from the life of Martha. So many lessons that we can take from her encounter with Jesus at this point. And man, oh man, I'm just imagining the tension in the room as she's looking at her sister, just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And she walks up to Jesus saying, "My goodness, could you please just tell her to help me? Do you not see anything wrong? Tell her to help me out." And Jesus replies, "Martha, Martha." I'm almost imagining his heart as he actually replies like that, saying, "Martha, Martha." Her heart was probably feeling like, oh my goodness, this is not the way it's supposed to go. You should be saying, "Mary, Mary," not "Martha, Martha," in response. But he says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her." Dear friend, one of the first few things that I see from this Mary moment, and it's similar to what we spoke about yesterday, is kind of going, "Lord, help me to be able to discern the moment where serving you and doing things for you makes me miss you in the midst of all of that." Because if you remember in the scripture, Martha's the one who welcomed them into the house. Jesus arrived and Martha welcomed Jesus oh so gladly. So she was ready and there was nothing wrong at that point in time. But it seems as if there's a point where she missed and she forgot why she's doing what she's doing and who she's doing it for. And that the presence of Jesus was worth much more than the scones that she was making or the choc chip cookies that she was preparing or the grilled chicken that she was about to put on the fire. And I think I'm also going, "Lord, help me to discern in my life where there are things that I may be doing that are right, going to work, raising my kids, tending to my marriage, putting in those building blocks like Focus on the Family says, that I might be so busy with those things that are right, that bring you glory, but that I focus so much on those things that I miss the fact that you're here." Can you believe it? Jesus was in her house. Who knows what he was sharing while he sat on the couch, while he sat on that little nook where she reads books during the day. She would have missed all of that. He would have been fed, but she would have not been filled by the Messiah himself. Friend, one of the first few lessons I take from the story of Martha is to say, "Lord, help me to be able to discern what things I have in my life that are trying to keep me from losing focus that you are the only thing." He actually goes on to say, "You're upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one." I truly believe that once we take a moment to see Jesus in our lives, we'll realize that he's actually all that we ever need. Him in our lives is more than enough. But it doesn't end there for Martha, which is the heartbreaking thing. Later on, Lazarus, her brother, dies, and Jesus walks into town. And the first thing she says, she walks up to Jesus and she's just like, my goodness, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You see this contention in her heart. And Jesus replies, taking her back to scripture, where it's like, hey, you remember that I am the resurrection. And she's like, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. And her faith in that teaching was great in believing this of God. But it's another thing when she was confronted with it in saying, Lord, I still know that you reign above it all. Friend, I want to kind of take a twist at this very moment with Martha in this back and forth that she has with Jesus after the death of her brother Lazarus, where she's kind of saying, I know this, but if you had been here. I'm also just taking a moment to say, Lord, help me to also look out for those things where I believe your word, but it's like I have head knowledge, but not the revelation of it in my heart. What do I mean by this? It's one thing for us to be able to know that God is a provider in our lives. But it's another thing for me when faced by all sorts of different things for me to be able to say, Lord, I believe in my heart that you will provide in whatever it is that we find ourselves in. I really believe that in this point in time, it's not that Martha didn't believe that Lazarus will rise in the resurrection on the last day, that Jesus walking there had all that strength and power. I don't think Martha didn't believe that. I think she knew it. But I think there was a point where she thought about it in head knowledge, but not seeing the revealed answer that was right before her. And lastly, the last thing that we see from Martha, right at the end, a little bit later on, they get to the grave and Jesus says, okay, let's go to where they've hidden him, where they've laid him. And she's just like, oh my goodness, you can't open that. There's going to be a smell. There's going to be a stench that's going to be coming out of that grave. We can't just open that. Friend, as we wrap this up, I look at the life of Martha and I'm like, oh my goodness, I'd love so much to be Mary, but my word, I'm just like Martha. I'm busy. I've got so many things that I'm doing that I miss Jesus in my midst. And also, I believe so much of God's word and head knowledge, but I'm not allowing him to reveal it in my heart in those moments and those real life situations. But third of all, sometimes God is leading me to this miracle that he's doing through my life. And I've got all these reasons of why not, why it can't be, why it can't happen. It's because, oh, but Lord, you don't know the manager that I have. What, I know you're saying you're going to provide for me, but it can't be through them because they are such harsh people. Or Lord, I know you're saying you can be able to restore my marriage, but you don't know what they've done in my life. Or Lord, I know that you're able to save my child and save my relationship with my child, but you don't know how much they've hardened their hearts. Friend, as we wrap up this conversation about the story of Martha and the lessons we can take from her, the third thing is, Lord, help me to have a renewed faith in you, even if it challenges my current faith. Oh, man. Even if it challenges my faith. It reminds me of that scripture that says, Lord, I believe, but help me with my unbelief. It's exactly that. The life of Martha makes me realize that surely there's a faith that I have in God that I'm just like, ah, man, there's a limitation that I have put on top of that faith where I believe, but there's still elements of unbelief that still sit in my heart. And I think it's for us to say, Lord, help me to believe you. Even if you call me to open that grave and my head says there will be a stench that will come out from there, let me believe your word over what my head may say, that I might believe the words of God over what I may think or feel or what may be true to my scenario around me, and say, Lord, I will put your word above everything else.
This is the Afternoon Drive Show.